I've been a DM for 30 plus years. Just do something.
I just rolled a 10 on a 10-sider.
For what?
I don't know. Try to find stuff.
Sheriff, this is no time to panic. This is the perfect time to panic!
I'm Steve Benson.
And I'm Paul Schultz.
And this is the Don't Panic Radio Show. Sit back, relax, and ignore the news, because nothing you're about to hear is true. Okay, so here's the thing. People will go, the Krogers? And Kroger doesn't have an S? But then they will take the S off of things that shouldn't have the S taken off, like Walgreens. Is that a Walgreens sticker? Or is that a Walgreens brand?
What threw people off about that is if you type Walgreens on your phone, it'll autocorrect it to Walgreens. So what the hell?
Really?
Yeah.
Come on, phone. You have one job. Wait, you have 80,000 jobs.
The primary one is to bring us porn in the bathroom. But
yeah, right. You know, they've done studies that show that there's more E. coli, you know, the poo bacteria,
mm-hmm.
Pooteria, on a smartphone than in the bowels of a sick, diarrhea-laden cow. Did you know that?
So that sounds a bit hyperbolic, but I'm going to agree.
You can look it up, man. Look it up. I don't care. You know, look it up used to be a thing like you could say, and then people would go, oh, he must be right, because he's telling us to look it up.
Yeah.
The problem is now if you're sitting around like a lunch table, say one of those round tables, and there's like eight people at the same table, if you say look it up, immediately everybody's got their poo-laden phone, like, looking it up. And, like, within 10 seconds, they're like, that's not true. It's like, oh, well, how do you know? Well, on Wikipedia. Oh, Wikipedia. Anybody can edit Wikipedia. Everybody knows that's wrong.
Yes.
Anyway, welcome to the show. We are very excited today because we have several things. One, another softcore history.
Woo-hoo.
I wrote another one of those. Paul has read it already, so he knows what it's about. But let's just say it's a topic that's very timely and one that we've discussed on the show before. We also have the normal jibber jabber, as you may have already heard. And most excitedly, we have Tits and Dragons.
That's right.
In the second half of the show. So make sure you stick around for that.
I know I will.
Hey, Paul.
What's up?
How was your week, man?
My weekend was pretty good. How was yours?
Oh, you don't get off that easy. What was good about it? What was your let's start with what was your favorite part?
Oh my gosh. Where to begin? I think I'm just like euphorically giddy from the time slot we're currently working in, because usually I'm laying in bed like messaging people right now. So
oh right
maybe
yeah, I you know, people should know we rarely do this, but it's going to start happening more.
Mm-hmm.
We're recording and the sun's still up.
Yes,
the reason being, I've discovered that by the time the sun goes down, I'm spent.
Mm-hmm.
And usually a couple of sheets in.
Mm-hmm.
And two things. One, we have committed to you, our dear listeners, to put out a better quality show. And can't do that if I'm tired and drunk. Two, I don't need another excuse to drink during the week. And recording Don't Panic, I'm always like, Wednesday, another beer.
I can usually tell about halfway through recording, I'm like, yep, it's going to be one of those shows.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're recording on a Sunday morning.
On a Sunday morning.
And on a Sunday morning. There's no way to hold my head that doesn't hurt. I just had a beer for breakfast. Ironically, I did just have a beer for breakfast.
I had my breakfast last night. So, but I have noticed, though, that I drink water awful rapidly when we do this. So I don't know what that's about.
Yeah.
But, speaking of drinking stuff rather rapidly, my son had him and his buddies this week. They went to the stag to the eighth grade dance because they all wanted to hang out and stuff. And he comes home and because him and his buddies all went and, you know, I guess they had a good time. He wouldn't really talk about it, but then he tells me, he goes, one of his friends threw up. I'm like, oh yeah? He's like, yeah, huh. He drank like 12 glasses of punch and tried to make it to the bathroom because apparently he got dared by another one of their friends to do it. And we laughed about it. And I messaged the kid's mom and I'm like, did your son tell you that he drank too much punch and threw up? She writes back. She's like, yeah, he's just like his dad. And it's funny because I'm thinking, I was talking to another mom and she's like, well, we know who the lush is going to be in that group. The fact that he did it on a
son, you got to learn to hold your punch.
But I told him, I said, before he went, I said, here's what's going to happen. I said, you and your friends are all going to get together. You're all going to go. So, you know, a couple of you are going to wander off and try to ask girls to dance, and the rest of you are going to have fun. And he comes home and he's talking about it. He goes, yeah. He said, so and so got rejected. He said, it happened just like you said it would, Dad.
You know, we could make a bazillion dollars if we wrote just the trailer for the movie about the middle school kids going to the dance.
Mm-hmm.
It would be like the video for Sabotage, right? And we would, like, we put their nickname, and then underneath it would be like the Ladies Man, and underneath the other one would be like the Lush. You know?
Yeah, dude, if it were for the fact that teenage boys are basically bumps on a log, it would be fun to try to even create that. But they just, yes. they're not photo. They're funny as hell when they're in their element, you know, because there's nothing funnier than a fart joke, you know.
Right.
Or boobs.
Especially when you're in it.
Yeah, exactly. But if you said, okay, now action, they would just like, they'd turn into that Warner Brothers frog and just sit there and go. Burp.
I was listening to the Bill Burr podcast, which our listeners would totally get if they like us, even if they don't like us. If they listen to us and go, yeah, these guys could be good, but there's something missing. Go listen to Bill Burr because he's got it. He's got whatever we don't.
He's hit or miss with me, but yeah, he's pretty funny.
Right, right. He's not always funny. Yeah.
Like us. Exactly.
But anyway, he was interviewing Bill Hader, and Bill Hader, hilarious, great actor. But they both said that their friends are way funnier than they are. Like, their friends from high school.
Uh-huh.
And they get together with their friends, and they're like, you know, we hang out with comedy people all the time, right? And they're rarely funny when we're out having drinks.
Right.
Or whatever. Right. But he's like, I get together with my friends, and I'm not the funny guy in the room. It's like, and then they start talking about their friends and what they do. And they're like, I don't know. It's like, but then you put them in front of a camera or try to record them or whatever, and suddenly they're not funny.
Right. It's like, a bunch of gynecologists get together for lunch. How much time do you think they spend talking about vaginas?
All of it.
At least until the Cobb salad shows up.
I it's my greatest fear. So somebody's going to go, dude, you're a funny dude, but that show you do with your friend, not funny at all. I'd be like, you either haven't listened or you're a liar.
That's right.
All right.
Because we think we're hilarious. You know why? You know why we're funny? Because our moms don't think we're funny.
My mom laughs at my jokes.
Oh, well.
You know why I'm so funny?
Why are you so funny?
Timing.
I knew where that was going. But your timing is an illusion.
That's right. So that's pretty good. I got a vision of the Stranger Things kids going to that ice dance or snow dance or whatever the hell that was.
That's what I had through the whole thing. And then he just comes home and he's just like, hey, you have fun? Yeah. And he goes off to his room. I'm like, it took a little bit of prodding to get him to talk, you know.
That's almost the exact opposite of when I pick my daughter up from one of her dances.
Oh, I get it.
It's like the moment that she sees me, she starts talking. I'm not even close enough to hear her yet. She's already talking. And then it's like one of those things. She's talking. I pick her up, get in the car. She's still talking. We're driving home. Talks the whole way home. We get home. We go in. We walk in, she's talking, there's my wife, so now she's got to tell everything she's told me, she tells her, still talking. And it's like, well, it's time for bed. Okay, she's talking, goes down. She's still talking in her room when she's changing into her jammies, even though she's by herself, still talking. I go in there to tuck her in, talks the whole time I'm tucking her in. I say, okay, good night, sweetie, talking. And I go, turn the light off, still talking. I go to, you know, go watch TV for a couple hours, you know, relax. Go to bed. First, I go down, check on him. I still do that. I'm in the habit of going down, and nothing ever is wrong. I just always go down and check on him before I go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And still talking. She's asleep, but she's still talking. So then I go to bed, get up the next morning, rub the sleepy sand out of my eyes, and I hear talking downstairs. I'm like, what is... So I go down there. She's still talking about the dance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's been talking all night about the damn dance. Girl can talk.
I have to. I understand. I feel your pain. The struggle is real. What cracks me up is how you're supposed to remember everyone's name. You know?
Exactly. And what happened.
Exactly.
And who's the mean girl and who's not the mean girl, which is not a static piece of information.
Mm-mm.
It changes on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lola said this to me, and I'm like, oh, that Lola? No, we're friends now, Dad. Come on.
It's like that scene in Raising Arizona when he's drilling holes in the sheet metal and his buddy's talking about Bill so-and-so. You mean Bill Parsons? No, not that mother scratcher. Bill Paxton or whatever. It's just like, how am I supposed to keep this all straight?
Yeah. It's like Bubba Gump. Bubba, what's his name? Talking about shrimp.
Right.
Change the channel, Marge.
Hey, how about a little softcore history?
Oh, yeah.
This one's called Damn Kids with Their Devices. You may not know Joe, but because of the technology he pioneered, your life and the lives of everyone you know are forever affected. In fact, chances are, if you're like most people, you're frequently not more than a few feet away from one of the devices that his technology enabled. Like every generation, I can just hear the generations that followed mass adoption of this world-changing technology complaining about the negative impacts and the seemingly ill effects of these devices. Kids these days are ruined. Children and their parents used to spend time together, playing games, cuddling together as they watched their favorite show or enjoyed an entertaining and educational show together. Nowadays, everybody retreats to their own corner of the home, slouched and transfixed, just staring at their devices. They look like mindless zombies, and there's no interaction anymore. Worse, we have no idea who's creating this content. It could be someone from across the country or even like anywhere in the world. filling our kids' heads with violence and sex and all sorts of danger. What if our kid is taken in by a seductive stranger who finds a way to harm them? Even with good, safe content, kids these days miss out on the expert curation and pacing of story. They could look up how it ends, take in only their favorite clips, or even copy pieces and parts and pass them off as their own. That wasn't so easy to do back in my day. Don't get me wrong, I'm all for innovation, so-called progress, made possible by this fancy gadget. Seems to have been a setback to societal evolution, though. I mean, people are literally fighting over these things. Kids are violent and disrespectful to their parents. They're shunning and disregarding the old traditional ways of life. Entire institutions are just being cast by the wayside. It's not all bad, though, I guess. Someday, I've said this many times, maybe when we've learned to harness its potential, to tame its power, this technology will cause great things. Man, until then, though, it's hard not to imagine we'd all be better off if it had never been unleashed on our society. What does all this have to do with Joe, anyway? You may not know Joe, but because of the devices enabled by his technology, your life is forever affected. Joe didn't get to see the biggest changes to society that his technology caused, though. He died before the killer app came along. A few decades after his death, though, the killer app took the world by storm. Seemingly overnight, old ways of thinking were exposed as serving only the elite. People from outside the system suddenly became super powerful. This means of rapid communication also meant that the old centers of power could no longer control the flow of information. Even though you don't know Joe, I bet you know his technology. In fact, Joe's last name is synonymous with his groundbreaking technology. If it weren't for Joe's invention, your world would be different indeed. Yep, you don't know Joe, but I'm willing to bet you know about his invention, a very special, very effective printing press. Invented in the 1430s. By Johannes Gensfleisch zur Laden zum Gutenberg. And the world would never be the same.
Could you repeat that? I was tweeting through the whole thing. I tweet.
Like you tweet.
I only accidentally checked Twitter accounts.
So that story is based on my often recited rant. Mm-hmm. About every generation thinking the next generation is the worst in history, right? Yeah. I'm thinking the kind of changes that iPhones and the internet and social media and all that stuff, which is, if I did my job correctly, and I may have or I may not have, if I did my job correctly, everybody was thinking I might have been talking about that, like some unknown Joe who invented it and then right. Other people made it famous. I'm always saying I think it will be changes for the good, but in the meantime, some people will figure out how to weaponize it and how to and make it a bad thing. And some of the good changes that will eventually turn out to be good are going to cause some suffering in the meantime, right?
Right.
There's nothing new under the sun. That's all happened before.
Mm-hmm. That's how we know it's going to happen. That's how you know it's going to work out.
Right. Exactly. Or not. It might work out. It can work out. I guess that's the thing. People talk about, I've said this on the show before, historians say history doesn't necessarily repeat itself,
but it does rhyme. I love that.
You know, yeah. One of the fallacies of looking back at history, and it's easy to do, it's a very human thing to do, is look at history as though everything that happened was inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, when Archduke Ferdinand was assassinated, of course World War I was going to break out. And, well, of course he was going to be assassinated. I mean, It had to happen, right?
Yeah, it's always inevitable when it's hindsight.
Yeah, exactly. Was that inevitable? So with history, if you look at history as everything had to happen the way it happened, then you tend to look at the future as though everything's going to happen the way it has to happen. And you go, well, if we let, you know, gays use what are not gays, what do we call them? Transgenders. If we let them use whatever bathroom they want, look at the Roman Empire. When they lost their moral compass, they fell. Like, dude. It doesn't yes. work that way.
Yeah, yeah. We tend, well, this goes back to our abridged world history rant a while ago. We think that Rome fell, like, everybody's like walking along and it was great, and the next day, instant chaos and destruction, but it was a very long, yeah. drawn out death.
Yeah.
But we're taught it fell in a day.
Back to the Gutenberg Press.
Mm-hmm.
Researching this, I had assumed that, like, there wasn't a printing press. I'd assumed this wasn't the case. There's no printing press for hundreds of years. Suddenly, Gutenberg goes, ooh, printing press, and made a printing press, and now there's printing presses. Inventions don't happen like that. Just like with history and Rome falling, printing presses don't just get, like...
It does happen like that when all you're taught is dates in school.
Yes, absolutely. Like the Wright brothers invented the airplane.
Yes.
Right? No. You know, a lot of people invented the airplane. Mm-hmm. It was kind of a group effort. What he did do, though, is he was a blacksmith, and he figured out a way to mass produce the little, you know, the way the printing press worked in those days is you had to make each letter,
mm-hmm.
and then you would put them all on your whatever, mm-hmm. your thing, and then you would print something. And then you would have to move them all around to print the next page. And it just took for freaking ever. So, like, having one copy of a book took forever. If you want another copy.
I took a graphic arts class in high school. And within 2 years after taking that class, that technology was obsolete. That was a waste of a credit.
Yeah. That was my drawing class in college. Drafting. Yeah, then AutoCAD comes along. I'm mm-hmm. like, well, there's... Well, I took typing. And the thing about typing is I'm able to touch type now, mm-hmm. even though I don't need those clear envelope things that you put in the typewriter to try to figure out where to put the correction tape.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need that which we spent an awful lot of time on that.
Yeah.
You know what? That's bullshit. They should have recognized, they should have been able to look and go, look, your job is a teacher. You should be not teaching just what they tell you to teach. Look forward into the future. And by that point, you should have been able to say, you know what? This correction tape thing, probably not going to be all that useful because they're already making, you know, these word processing machines where you can see what you type. And then, no, it's like, well, it's on the curriculum. Yeah. Got to teach it. Well, what would Mr. Toth have done if he's like, I don't have to teach that? Now suddenly he's got to come up with something else to teach.
Just like cursive writing and analog clocks.
Yeah.
People lose their shit when they find out that some schools are dropping cursive writing and analog clocks. It's like, that's what you got.
They do.
That's your day. That's what you have to do yeah. with your day. Well, I had to do it. Well, that's the stupidest argument I ever heard.
Well, there's another one that's pretty stupid. I don't know if it's the stupidest, but, well, how are kids going to be able to sign their name?
Yes. I've
it's
had
like, that. Whatever it is, whatever that scribble thing you do that is supposed to be your signature, whatever it is, it ain't cursive.
No, it is not.
Okay.
Nope. But that's the excuse they use to justify, well, I had to do it.
Yeah. I love cursive. It's like, no, you don't need cursive. Just forget it. Anyway. Yeah. So the printing press, so what he did was he figured out how to mass produce the little things that you move around.
Mm-hmm.
And once he did that, it meant you could print like 300 copies of a book in the amount of time it would have taken you to print one before.
Right.
So suddenly people can put out pamphlets, they can put out books, you know, the way the church controlled people was they said, well, you have to come to us because we are the one with the books. We know how to interpret the books, so we could tell you what they mean.
Mm-hmm.
So the church was able to have power that way. It's like, you know, why is it you get to have all these women, but we're not allowed? Oh, well, it's, you know, it's how God wants it. It's in the Bible. Oh, OK. Can I read that? No. Do you know Latin? Do you have one of the books? Yeah. So Pretty Press comes along. Suddenly everybody's able to read, and it caused mass chaos.
Yeah.
Yep. There was wars and lots of suffering. However, I tend to believe that things are better now because we're able to have books and pamphlets and things.
Knowledge is power.
Yeah. You can have that. That's a copyright free pod safe music right there.
Speaking of religion and the church, I've started working on this year's Halloween special.
Yay.
Yeah. Well, it's no joke when we talked about we should start in February. Cause
yeah. Well, we're a little late this year. Yeah. So.
Well, I almost had somebody who was going to be able to do like a seance for us, but that's not likely going to happen. Ooh. Because of scheduling. So I started working.
So I guess we just got to get an actor to do it.
Yeah, just, we could just pretend.
Like you're going to be doing a seance. Yeah.
Okay, scratch that. Maybe we'll do that. That'll be our fallback. If I don't get this done in time, we'll do that. We'll get MP. We'll let him improv a seance, and then
he loves improv.
He does. He loves his improv.
So what are you working on?
Well, last year you were joking about how you felt like you were the son of Svengoolie because we were cutting in on, you know, the stuff that we'd worked on. And I thought, well, wouldn't it be cool if we did like a radio drama, like a 3-act radio drama, and then we cut in on it like, it's one continuous story. And then we cut in on the breaks. So I came up with this idea based on actual events about a gargoyle. I've already got people who want to, as soon as I talk to them about it, they're like, ooh, I'll do a voice. And I'm like, okay, I'll put you down for it. But the thing is everyone says they'll do a voice until you put a microphone in front of their face. So it'll be interesting to see who we get. I know a certain William Wright wants to be in on it. So we got at least got him. And, you know.
He has that nice voice,
yes,
too.
Yes, he does. He, what did he say? He brings pleasure to people with his mouth. What was
Yeah. That's right. I forgot about that. he can make a lot of money that way. he's been giving it away for free, though, man, to anybody who wants it.
Especially as prolific as he is.
Right? Oh, man. Maybe there's a connection.
Right. But
like you give it away for free, man. You're going to be giving a lot of it away.
It's like art. Everybody wants it till they got to pay for it.
Right.
But I'll keep everybody posted as this goes along, how it's going to come out. I'm kind of excited for it.
So are you writing the radio drama?
Yes, I'm writing it. And then as soon as I get it done, I'm going to ship it to you and a couple other, I'm not going to ship it to you as I make the heart sign. I'm not shipping you. I'm just going to ship it to you.
Okay, that's one I don't know. You're going to have to explain that. What does shipping have to do with
the heart? Next time your daughter interrupts, ask her what shipping means. She'll look at you like, Dad, how do you not know that?
Is it an acronym or what is it?
It's an abbreviation.
Okay. So it's not an acronym. It's an abbreviation.
Yes.
Oh, wait. Acronyms and abbreviations are two different things.
Yes.
Ship. So relationship.
Yes.
Okay. Woo. That could be anything.
I was watching Steven Universe with my youngest, and two of the characters were talking, and she looks over at me, she goes, they're shipping, and she does the heart sign with her two hands, and I'm like, my 10-year-old. Ladies and gentlemen, my 10-year-old.
How did it take Western civilization like over 2,000 years to come up with, you can make a heart by doing this with your with your two hands. You think they did this back in the Roman Empire days?
Like before it fell?
Before it fell, they started doing this heart thing.
This is what caused the downfall of the Roman Empire, right here.
That's right.
Kids of those days. That's what caused.
In an age of innocence, before the dawn of fear, two special people found each other. Miles O'Keefe is Ator. Sabrina Siani is Rune. Fighting an evil that threatened their life, their love. This is their journey, their adventure. The birth of a new legend, a new hero, and a true heroine. Ator. Rated PG.
Starts Friday at a theater near you.
Now he's going to move like right along to McGregor. That's his whole life.
Good to see you, Jim.
You look great.
Mac?
Why do you...
In the eerie world of deep, dark dungeons, mystery and magic seem real. There's good against evil with advanced Dungeons & Dragons action figures. War Duke, Kellek, Strongheart, and Bronze Dragon, each sold separately.
Beware, Strongheart. You'll cast an evil spell and steal the treasure.
Well, evil is no match for good. The treasure is safe.
Advanced Dungeons & Dragons action figures. Kellek, War Duke, Bronze Dragon, Strongheart, each sold separately from LJN.
Welcome back to the show. As promised, we're going to play a little T&D. But first, we have a little secret for everyone. It's an Easter egg, if you will. And I believe, here's the challenge. I believe SFJ will figure it out before anybody else. So the challenge is, see if you can figure it out before SFJ. We're not going to say what it is. And this is one of those like mega... epic meta challenges that you sometimes hear about, which is we're not even going to tell you like what it is or what it's about or anything, but you have to figure out what the Easter egg is.
That's
good, isn't it?
Good luck.
Because JJ Abrams or somebody, some douchebag like that did one of those once where it's like, oh, we're going to do a contest and the contest is to win and okay, go. And you're like, what are the rules? Is there a starting point? What do you do to win? And it's like, no, you just have to figure it out. So all these super geeks were out there, like, able to figure it out.
And they're just tearing it apart.
If you truly are our biggest fan, you'll know what the Easter egg is. And by the way, it's already happened. So it's not like you got to listen to the rest of the show to figure it out. Well, maybe you do. Anyway, let's move on. As promised, we're going to play a little T&D.
Between the time when the oceans drank Atlantis and the rise of the sons of Arius, there was an age undreamed of. Let me tell you of the days of high adventure.
She has a hole in her because I was demonstrating Stranger Things like other dimensions with her.
Nothing ever changes.
Right.
It looks like all your character sheets from junior high.
Aside from the injury, she's doing great.
Okay, Sally. You wake up to the sound of hissing rain. And it's like you're coming out of a deep, deep slumber filled with vague images. You kind of remember bits and pieces of the past couple of days of wandering through these woods. As you begin to get your eyesight back, you notice that you're kind of under a makeshift lean-to. And sitting across from you, with a small fire between the two of you, sits a little old man dressed in robes. He says to you, you're awake finally, I see. My name is Belarius, and who might you be?
I am Sally. of that of the place where I am from. She says to the old man, "Dude, I should take notes." Okay, what was your name again? Valerius? I'm on my way to Valis.
To meet...
Nasniv, who has a mission for me. He is the troll slayer, and he has a mission for me. I'm Tawny Katane White Snake Video Hot, and I fought a snake and a weird witch, and I had to go find a torch to look for the snake, and now I'm here, and you're an old man, but my name is Sally. Nice to meet you, Valerius.
He says, it's Valerius, but okay.
That's hilarious.
I understand you're a bit confused. As you were talking to him, two things occur to you. One, it wasn't a snake, it was a giant lizard.
Same thing.
And two, the last thing you clearly remember was the sorceress Cassandra casting a spell on you. And once she cast a spell on you, you had the overwhelming urge to wander off into the woods in the direct path of the city of Val, which is the capital of Valis.
All right.
You've been wandering for several days, and the effects of the spell have finally seemed to have worn off.
Ah.
And in your memory, you vaguely recall this old man finding you and helping you under his lean-to keep out of the rain.
Thanks, old man.
He says, you're on your way to Val? Is that what I'm hearing?
That's exactly what I'm doing. I'm on my way to Val to see Nasniv, the troll slayer, because he asked me to come see him. And where are you from, Valerius?
Valerius explains that he's from a small village several miles from here to the west.
Okay.
He's come this far because he points east and he says, look over yonder. Do you see that menacing black tower?
Yes.
Sticking up out of the forest?
The one with the, what looks like an eye at the top of it?
Yes. No, it literally looks like a squared, like, rook chess piece.
Oh.
Just sticking out of the foliage. Out of the top of the trees, you figure it's probably a quarter mile off from where you're sitting.
So why are you trying to get away from that, Valerius?
He says, I'm not trying to get away from it. I'm on my way to it.
Oh.
He says that he explains that his daughter was kidnapped by the wizard Erasmus. Periodically, the wizard comes to our village and takes a mate, if you will. Against their will, using his magics. We're unable to do anything about it because he's too powerful of a wizard and we are but a small village.
Isn't Cassandra related to Erasmus?
Not that you're aware of.
I thought she told me that she was dating him.
No, that was Jutanis Mindbender. See, the fog is lifting. Jutanis Mindbender.
Not quickly enough, apparently.
Yes. Well, that's the view. That it's kind of fun that it happens this way, because you're confused, which is what your character would be.
Next time I go on one of these adventures, I'm going to bring a secretary type to write all this.
Jutanis Mindbender. Yeah, he is the counsel to Nasniv Trollslayer.
Right.
And a well known and well renowned philanderer, and that's how. That's how Cassandra knew him.
By any chance, is Erasmus from late 19th century Poland?
Maybe he traveled here from the future. I don't know.
Oh, good point. All right. So your daughter has been kidnapped by some evil rapist wizard.
Mr. Rapist Wizard here.
And... with any luck, your daughter hasn't been raped yet.
Every time you say that, he's like, ugh.
I mean,
I'm trying not to think about it.
It's not out of the realm of possibility is all I'm saying. All I'm saying is there's a good chance. There is a chance. I don't know if it's good. There's a chance, however remote, that she has not yet been raped. So.
His shoulders are slumping every time you say that.
I'm trying to give you hope. There is hope. There is hope that there might be a slight chance she has not yet been ravaged. I'll stop using the word rape. It seems like you're hung up on that word. It's just a word, just semantics. I'll use the word ravaged. There's a chance she hasn't been ravaged. And if you and I team, I'm a women's right. As a woman myself, I'm a women's rights advocate. And I don't believe in ravaging of women against their will.
Was it hashtag you too?
Hashtag you too. Bono's like, what do you mean hashtag you too? Don't drag me into this. I didn't mean to. Wait, what does he say? Did I disturb you? No, wait. Did I bug you? I didn't mean to bug you. All right. So would you like my help freeing your daughter from the chess piece over there?
He says if you could do that, he pulls out, digs through his robes, and he pulls out a sack about, you know.
He says, excuse me big. While I whip this out.
While I whip this out.
He pulls out his giant sack.
He says, I don't have much, but you can have everything that's in this sack. And he tosses it to you.
I do not wish to take your money. Well, I do not wish to take all your money. I shall take half of your money. Only you can hang on to it for me until I get back.
Okay. Well, that's very gracious of you, he says.
What's she look like?
She has blonde, long blonde hair, you know, and favors her mother. So don't look for a woman with a beard.
No beard. Wait, who's her mother? Is her mother famous?
No, he's just saying that, you know, she favors her mother. Meaning she's beautiful is what
he's
doing. Oh,
well, for all I knew, her mother had a beard. How would I know? What is she like Phoebe Cates, Fast Time at Ridgemont High, hot? Or is she more like Liv Tyler from Wild Things, hot?
We'll go with Liv Tyler, Wild Things, with a blonde wig.
She could have been Heather Graham, Roller Girl, Boogie Nights, hot.
We'll go with that one. I don't know why I forget about Heather Graham.
Because she's blonde. Liv Tyler's brunette. That was a test. You failed.
I said with a blonde wig.
Oh, got it.
Yeah.
All right. So, wait, is she African American? I mean, African Volian?
You're
so confusing.
It's the spell wearing off.
Yeah. All right. So, are you coming with me or am I going by myself? Is there anything else?
Well, he says that as much as he would love to come with you, he's afraid he'd get in the way more than be of any assistance because I'm just a feeble old man. My hope was to barter for my daughter back, but I doubt that what I have in my sack would even be enough.
Sorry. Well, it's enough for me. I'll tell you what, you might not have much in your sack, but it's enough for me. So I'm going to take care of business. Anything else I should know? Do you have any other information about who's holding her? Are the weaknesses or strengths of that tower?
Well, no one knows too much about the tower because anyone that's been in it has never come out of it.
All right. For the sake of our listeners, so Sally says to Erasmus.
Good enough.
For the sake of our listeners, I'm going to stop asking questions. And I'm just going to go attack that damn tower. I'm going to save that chick, your daughter. How old is she, by the way?
She's like 16.
Oh. I'll still save her.
Well, keep in mind, you know, she's an old maid at 16.
Yeah.
For the sake of our listeners, we'll say she's 18.
Shit, Negro, that's all you had to say. 16. That reminds me. All right, I'm going to break the fourth curtain for a second. I don't know if I ever told you this story, but my buddy Greg is hanging out with his high school friends in Indiana, mm-hmm. like in a bar in Indiana. And they're partying. And this girl like starts flirting with one of his friends, and they're flirting and stuff. And she reveals to him that she has a fake ID and she's only 16, right? But they were getting, like, they were starting to make out and stuff. So he's like, oh, hold on, 16, hold on. Walks over to a payphone, looks up the number for the local police station, calls up the police, says, what's the age of consent in Indiana? She's like, why? He's like, nah, just, I'm curious. We have, I have a bet with a buddy of mine. She's like, 16? He's like, okay, thanks. Hangs up the phone, goes back. Continues making out with the girl. I'm like, that ain't right.
No, God, I couldn't imagine.
All right, so back behind the fourth wall. All right, so Sally heads over to the tower.
Okay.
Looking for, wait, what's her name, old man?
Her name is Tiana.
Tiana. If you name your daughter Tiana, you just got to get ready.
For the pole?
For the pole, exactly. Hey, everybody, it's Tiana on stage number 3. All right. Okay. So, Sally walks to the tower to save Tiana, who looks like Roller Girl from Boogie Nights.
It's about 6 o'clock in the evening, so it's not dark, but it's also not light when you leave. And sure enough, as you make your way through the woods, it's about a quarter mile to this very dark and very foreboding black tower that just seems to come up out of the ground and like a sword, it just penetrates the sky.
Okay.
It's 4 smooth black stone walls that it's probably 30 feet at the base, but it kind of tapers inwards towards the top. There's a single door, and as you're kind of walking around it,
mm-hmm.
you also notice about halfway up, it's about 80 feet high.
Okay.
About halfway up, you see a window.
Okay.
And there's a faint light coming from the window.
Okay.
Other than that, it appears to be completely without feature. It almost appears to be carved out of a single block of stone. Basically, just imagine the monolith, the construction of the monolith.
I walk around looking for an entrance.
And there's only one door.
So I knock on the door.
You knock on the door?
In the customary fashion, like this.
The interesting thing about the door is there's no handle on it. And you knock and knock. And as you pound on it, you can't help but notice that it feels like a thick wooden door. Uh-huh. And you knock and knock and knock, and nothing happens.
Okay. Think. I have to think like Paul. What would Paul want me to do? WWPWMTD. I strike the door with my one-handed bastard sword.
Okay. The door has an armor class of 5.
9. Bah!
When you strike, you still strike it. You don't miss the door. But when you strike it, you don't even appear to put a chip in it when you hit it.
Oh, I hit it again.
Well, as you rear back to hit it again, the ground beneath you gives way.
Oh.
Now, it doesn't, it almost seems to just swallow you up. It doesn't like, it's not like there's a trap door that just boop, you know, and you fall through. It's like you sink into the earth. Or the tier, as the case may be, which is the name of your world. It's always a funny thing in games where guys are like, you know, and then the Earth swallows you up, but we're not on Earth.
I've read science fiction novels where they call the dirt on another planet. They call it Earth with a small e.
Yeah, yeah. That's but when you're speaking,
that's like our language for
right.
Whatever planet you're on.
But when you're speaking it, it's hard to tell. Do you mean capital E or lowercase? Anyway, you sink into the ground. You're surrounded by darkness, but you suddenly feel that you're rolling and tumbling down a chute that basically spits you out. You don't land hard. You basically, like, you're going through a tube, you know, like, basically sliding. And you come tumbling
like in the
to
Matrix.
A stop.
Or Luke Skywalker at the end of
Empire.
Yeah.
When he goes through the...
When he goes and sees Lando Calrissian, but then he ends up fighting his dad.
Yes. Yeah. Spoiler alert. Right. Anyway, you come tumbling to a stop, and you find yourself in this big natural cave. It kind of goes forward a little bit and then veers off to the left. There's a shaft of light about 20 feet up coming from what looks like an iron grate.
Okay.
And you hear, like, you know, your typical cave dripping sounds, and you look around and you see there are various bones laying about, you know, small bones laying about you.
Small bones.
Yeah, like animal bones, like they could be a raccoon or a possum or a cat or a dog.
Or whatever.
Or a monkey.
Whatever version of those animals they have on this planet.
Yes.
All right, I look around for something to make a torch out of.
Well, there are, you're learning. you find a bone and you figure you could probably rip off a piece of your cloak or something and fashion a crude torch.
I rip off my top.
Ooh.
And I fashion a torch out of it.
If I'd known it was going to be that kind of dungeon. all right, so you managed to get your torch together and get it lit.
Okay.
And sure enough, you're standing in this large, empty cave. There's like a puddle of dank water off to your right. There's the, like I said, the pillar of light that's coming down faintly from above, about 20 feet. And you see where the cave kind of veers off to your left a little bit, just past the grate.
So I go out. I go ahead and go off to the left where the cave veers off.
Okay, as you walk around to that side of the cave, roll initiative.
10.
Defender wins. I got a 10 as well. You see coiled up this probably 25-foot long snake about as big around as much as you could if you put your arms together, you know. This huge fucking snake kind of rears up when it sees you. And, you know, when it hisses, its mouth looks big enough to just eat your whole head.
Yeah.
But you win initiative, so what do you do?
I whip out the whip of the serpent.
Okay, then.
I mean, if you got to fight a snake and you have the possibility of using a snake to fight said snake, I think that's what you do, don't you?
That's very clever.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I'm gonna do.
Do you choose to use it as a weapon, or allow it to turn into a snake and fight the snake?
I allow it to turn into a snake and fight the snake.
That means both of you get to attack on the next turn.
Yes, but I lose a turn because it takes a turn.
Yeah.
To turn it into a snake.
Yes.
All right. So what's the armor class of the thing that it's attacking?
6.
It fell off the table. Sorry.
Doesn't count.
19.
That's a hit.
Woo! Boom, baby. All right, so I got 2 ones. So that's 2 plus 2, 4 damage. Piece of shit, four-sider. Let's take the one off.
Now, does it do constriction damage?
Yes.
Okay, this is weird. It's going to attempt to break free of the whip. It does not. So now, if you want to have your snake do automatic damage, go ahead and roll your damage.
Yes, I do want my snake to do automatic damage.
Okay, so roll your damage.
2 2s, which is 4 plus 2 is 6.
Okay, now you can attack.
Oh. Well, in that case, Can I use whatever I want, or do I have to still use the whip?
No, the whip is for, the whip is independent now. You can do whatever you want. You can run away.
I'm going to use my one-handed bastard sword.
I'm a class of 6.
7. Ah!
That's a miss.
I suck at rolling dice.
Change your 20-sider. That's the whole purpose of having 1,000 different dice, man. Because dice are cursed. All right, it's going to attempt to break free and doesn't. So now your snake does damage.
3 plus 2 is 5.
All right, now you attack.
How do you roll a 1 on a 20-sider? It's like a 1 in 20 chance of getting a 1, and I got a 1.
You roll the 1? Well, that means you fumbled and dropped your sword, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Which means you have to pick a new weapon on your next attack. All right, it's going to try to break free. And still doesn't.
2 4s. Wow, not bad. 4, 5, 8, 10 damage.
Your whip kills the snake.
Nice.
As your whip then begins to turn back into a whip, the form of the snake starts to like shiver and twist and kind of melt. And to your horror, your whip is now wrapped around the dead body of a young lady with red hair.
Red hair? Well, I'd like to think that my snake turned and looked at me and said, I did all the work. You didn't even hit. Like, not even once. And then you dropped your sword. You're, like, worthless. Okay, so red-haired.
The snake goes on to do the adventure without Sally.
Okay, so I walk up, so I gather up my snake, turn it back into a whip.
Mm-hmm.
So I take a look at the red-haired person, see if there's any identifying information, like jewelry or tattoos or...
Mm-hmm. Well, she appears to be crushed to death, and she appears to be naked and, like, dirty, you know. Hair's nasty, skin's all dirty and, you know, scratched up.
Is she wearing any jewelry, anything like that?
No, she's completely naked.
Tattoos?
No, no tattoos.
Well, she'll be missed. So I'll go and check out the dank water.
It's a puddle probably about maybe 15 feet across. It's got that fun aroma of basement water that everyone loves so much.
Like that dank water smell?
Yes.
All right, and then still got the grate with the light coming in, right? Got the dead redhead, got the torch made out of my bikini top. You know, Eazy-E was straight out of Compton. I'm straight out of ideas. I probably just killed the one thing that might have helped me figure out what to do. Oh, I know what to do. This is what you always do in T&D. I look around for weapons or treasure. I just rolled a 10 on a 10-sider.
For what?
I don't know. Try to find stuff.
You managed to find, like, hiking gear. So you figure you probably weren't the only human that fell through this chute. And in said hiking gear, you find a length of rope and a grappling hook.
What I was looking for. Exactly what I was looking for. I used length of rope and said grappling hook to toss it up to the grate with the that has the light coming through it.
Okay. The grate has an armor class of 5.
I'm not trying to kill the grate.
This is one of the bones of contention that a lot of people have with Dungeons and Dragons. Is all I want to do is put my hand on it, but I still got to roll the armor class. It's like, well, yeah, because it's a game, that's why.
18. Boom. That's what you get, great.
All right. So the hook hits the grate, and when you tug on it, it opens down like a trap door drop, but it's still hanging on. You know what I'm saying? It's like the grate fell open, but your hook is still hooked on it.
I do a little thing I like to call Tawny Katane climbing a rope.
I think we all thought about Tawny Katan climbing a rope back in the early 80s. All right, so now you work your way up the rope like no kid in junior high has ever done before.
Right.
And you poke your head through the grate. What you see around you is probably the first floor of this tower.
When you were in junior high climbing the rope, did you ever get that weird feeling in your crotchal region?
I got that weird feeling in my crotchular area a lot in junior high.
No, I mean specifically when you're climbing a rope.
No.
I don't know what that was. I always got, like every time I was trying to climb a rope, I got this strange tingling feeling in that area down there. I don't know if that was just me. Our listeners will tell us. Tell me if any of you got that feeling. It was weird. I didn't know. It was a combination of arousal and shame.
Probably more on shame than arousal.
All right, so now I'm on the first floor of, I'm on what appears to be the first floor of the tower.
You're still hanging there, looking out. On one wall, you see a large bookshelf.
Okay.
In one corner is like a flight of stairs, like a spiral flight of stairs. You know, you can see it through a doorway. Above the doorway, you see this like gargoyle face.
Okay.
The bottom part of his jaw is gone. But you look directly under it, and you see the pieces of stone laying on the floor. And okay. Laying a few feet away from it is a red gem about the size of a mouse, you know, like your computer mouse.
Okay.
And then there's a table in another corner, and then you see the door where you tried to break through.
I go pick the jewel up.
When you look at the gargoyle, you figure, well, this thing was probably just big enough to fit in its mouth. But for some reason, it broke loose, and now it's laying here at the foot of the stairs. And the stairs are just beyond the door. You can see, like, there are, like, stone steps, and they kind of spiral up, you know, up into the rest of the floors of the tower. This ceiling's kind of high. It's about 20 feet up. But there's also a bookshelf, like a dining table. And then, of course, the grate in the middle of the floor where you pulled yourself out of.
So I already picked up the jewel.
Okay.
Put it in my satchel. I go to the bookshelf and I pull out a random book.
When you pull out a random book, you notice too late that as you pull it out, you see that there's a piece of string attached to the like the other side of the book that runs into the wall.
Clever.
All about the floor is made of cobblestones, you know, smooth stones. Gas comes pouring up through the floor.
Bertram's back!
Save versus poison.
8.
You did not save. To be continued.
Well, that was a lot more of a struggle than I thought it would be. In Sally's defense, she was tired and was having trouble figuring out what to do next. So library, do I have my library card with me? Because whenever I end up at the library, I never have my library card.
You know, you can just use your ID for that now.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I went online and checked out a book and had it transferred to my kid's school because they have the public library has a branch in the school. So that was neat. Anyway.
You know who you have to thank for that?
Who?
Joe. That's who you have to
Joe. Come on, Joe. That's right. Wow, that's a callback. Well, it was good. It was fun. I'm glad it's over. Wait, it's not over. It was to be continued.
I'm hoping we can do it a little more, like maybe once a month as opposed to every 3 months.
Okay.
So.
Okay, then. And maybe I'll get the hang of it. And I'll know when you walk in a room, it doesn't matter what you do, the DM already knows what's going to happen.
That's correct.
Every player is a non-playing character, as far as the DM's concerned. I see you all the same. I'm an equal opportunity asshole. All right.
That's right.
That was good. Little Joe, little softcore history, little T&D, lots of jibber jabber. Let's call that a show.
It's a show.
All right, man. Don't forget, go down and click the like button. If you're on YouTube, mm-hmm. you know, that little thumbs up thing. If you're on Facebook, click the like, click the share. You don't even have to say anything. Just click share. That's all. We make it easy mm-hmm. for you. Tell your friends. Nothing like a personal message that says, hey, these are my buddies. They're funny. You should listen.
They're the funny ones at the table.
They're the funny ones at the table, right? And they're funny on the microphone.
That's right.
For Paul Schultz and Sally and for Joe, I'm Steve Vinson. And nothing and just heard.
And just heard is true.
Just heard is true.
I'm gonna go get a beer.
Wait, right wait, back. Wait, wait. We're all. I'll be too.